We're joined now by Susan McGuire of the Chapel Hill Public Library with all of our Thanksgiving weekend book recommendations. Thanksgiving, our topic, of course, this week. Susan, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
And got a lot of plans for the weekend. You're working half the time because it's got to be a busy weekend for the library.
It's going to be nuts. We have a big machine to handle a lot of the muscle. It doesn't mean there are any fewer picture books to shelve, unfortunately.
How popular is the big machine?
It's so popular and it's so fun. Someone was joking that we need to have a budget line for Windex because there's a window where you can see the machine, see their kids peeking in the window.
Like a Christmas Story style, like putting their lips on the glass and everything. Yeah.
So don't do that. It's not sanitary. But, you know, definitely come. I mean, I sometimes will go back and just watch it because it's amazing.
It's fun to watch. It's this like cool conveyor and just mechanical things going in every direction automatically. Yeah, anytime you get a big machine like that, it's really fun to watch. So head to the public library, check that out. This weekend, you're closed on Thursday and Friday, right?
Correct.
Yeah, but back open on Saturday. How busy does it? Do you know if it typically gets on a holiday weekend like this?
Yeah, this is my first Thanksgiving here, so I don't know, but.
I realized that halfway through the question. Yes, I was like, oh, wait, you don't know about Thanksgiving. How about previous?
Yeah. But from what I understand, whenever we're closed at all, the next day is like
insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Twice as much. But, you know, it's nice to be popular.
All right. So Thanksgiving weekend is coming up. I guess it kind of starts now. I know Kristen Smith was here earlier for the short and sweet business meet from the Chamber of Commerce, and she was done for the day after this. So her Thanksgiving weekend's already begun. Mm. Mine starts shortly. Because we're doing a really cool special tomorrow from the Fisher House, so no evening news tomorrow. So I'm happy about that. And everyone else's Thanksgiving weekends have either already started or a lot of people's are just about to begin. So let's talk about Thanksgiving. What are your favorite Thanksgiving related recommendations?
Well, none of my books are like specifically Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yeah. But there aren't that many Thanksgiving related books that I can think of off the top of my head.
The Ice Storm by Rick Moody.
Oh, yeah.
Which was also a movie. That is kind of like two dysfunctional families come together for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I definitely took the dysfunctional family angle, but I tried to get stuff that was
things associated with Thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
Like dysfunctional families, food, football, what else? I guess shopping on
football.
Black Friday if we wanted
to get
into that.
I didn't think about football.
Yeah. Okay, so dysfunctional families. Let's start with that.
Yeah, all right. Let's start with it. The first one is called The Spellman Files by Lisa Lutz, and it's a series. So we talked a little bit about the idea of gluttony and sort of like book glomming. So there are six books in the series. So if you want to pig out, so to speak, then do it. But it's about a family of private investigators in San Francisco, and the oldest is kind of tired of her family's complete lack of boundaries. Like, they bug their rooms and they are just nuts. And her younger sister engages in what she calls recreational surveillance, which is, you know, just spying on people.
Of course, yes.
So I think if you like Veronica Mars, it has a similar sort of sardonic take on it. Although the heroine is older. She's like Veronica Mars's older sister.
Mm-hmm.
So because they're PIs, there are cases, and so just when she tries to get out of the business,
they pull her back in.
Awesome. And it's just a lot of fun.
And how many books? Six?
Six.
Okay, nice. So if you really want to be gluttonous and read a whole bunch of books this weekend, you can sit down and read six of these. Awesome. So I think I did you one better because I've got a book series. If you really want to be gluttonous, you can read seven books in this series. It's nothing I haven't recommended before, but I was thinking about dysfunctional families. I was thinking about food. I was thinking about football, which is sort of a Thanksgiving sort of side tradition. But sort of sporting events in general that bring people together. And I came up with the Harry Potter series.
All right.
And you mentioned sort of gluttony.
Yeah, that's
not
a good
gluttonousness.
One.
Gluttony and just sort of reading a whole bunch of books all in one sitting. There's like several thousand pages of this series.
Yes.
And it's got the dysfunctional families. It's got these awesome feasts. It's British, so they don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but whatevs. and they've got Quidditch. They've got it's everything that we associate with Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and that series, if you're driving somewhere, the audiobook series is excellent.
You know, I've heard so many good things about the audiobooks, and I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, but I've never actually sat down and listened to the audiobooks.
I mean, I think it might be. I mean, I think it's worth listening to.
I've heard it's like just about the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do it.
Okay.
And it's, definitely the first few are kind of all ages.
Right. And then it gets a little bit darker and older as the series goes on. Yeah.
So that's worth checking out. And they're so long that you'll
exactly.
have to listen to them forever.
And it's got a functional family as well. Because I was thinking of the dysfunctional family with the Dursleys, but it's got the Weasleys too, which is much more functional. So there you
but
go.
But also wacky.
But also very, very wacky.
Yes.
Wacky Weasleys. And I thought about it first in terms of food because we were just in – my friends and I just took a trip down to Florida. We went to Universal Studios for, like, Harry Potter Land.
Oh.
And we basically went to Universal with the sole purpose of going to Harry Potter Land because, you know, there's other cool stuff there too. But it's Harry Potter Land. You can go to Hogwarts. You can go to Diagon Alley. It's amazing. And one of the most fun things is going into the stores and getting, like, butter beer and all of the cool foods that you associate.
That tastes like
Birdie Bots, every flavor
that
beans.
Sounds great.
Yeah. I think we skipped the Birdie Bots, every flavor beans, but we got butterbeer and it was really good. So it's food, it's everything.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's my first. A whole experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're next.
Here's another family.
Okay.
That's terrible. this is about, it's called The Family Fang by Kevin Wilson, and it came out a couple years ago. And it's about a couple. They're performance artists, and their two children are sort of unwittingly, they grow up being part of their performance art. And I'm not really doing a good job of describing how funny it is, but it's just funny and quirky. And I think it has a similar tone to, like, the Royal Tenenbaums.
Okay.
So if you like that kind of thing, I don't know why I'm comparing it to visual media, but if that's your style, then I think definitely try this weirdo family. So they are part of grow up in this terrible performance art experience, but it's also making fun of performance art in kind of a loving, strange way.
Kind of does sound like it's got a Wes Anderson vibe to it.
Yeah.
So I think the overall Tenenbaums is a good comparison.
Yeah, and if you ever did, like, I went to a small liberal arts school, so there was a lot of performance art feelings. So I really laughed at that.
I went to a small liberal arts school, but it was much more, like, conservative and toned down.
Oh.
So it wasn't like the sort of Oberlin-y go
no,
and
we
do whatever
all worked
you,
out our feelings on the stage.
What school did you go to?
Vassar.
Okay. Yeah. I went to Hope. It was in Western Michigan. If you weren't from a 20-mile radius. Yeah. If you weren't from a 20-mile radius around the campus, then you were an outsider. It was one of those.
No.
But it was a nice school, but I was from 100 miles away and I was just so on the outs.
Dude,
it was, I was sad.
A Ferner,
but
as we used to call them in West Virginia.
Everyone was a townie. It was ridiculous. Okay, so I went with a dysfunctional family for my second recommendation, but this is not wacky or quirky at all. This is like a really dark dysfunctional. This is like the classic dysfunctional family in American literature. Because you mentioned dysfunctional families.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what's first? Course.
That's not American literature.
That's first, but it's not American literature. But The Sound and the Fury is.
Oh, yeah.
William Faulkner.
Sorry,
or
I'm
basically just about anything by William Faulkner.
Yeah,
but that's the one that I've read. So I We were talking earlier about the fact that I have spent the entire year going through all of my I need to read these books and just getting through them, and I'm done. I cheated a little bit because I've got this big book on Reconstruction by Eric Foner that I realized that I wasn't going to get rid of, so I can set that aside and read that maybe next year. But everything else I've actually managed to get through and read. And one of them was that I had somehow come into the possession of was Absalom by Faulkner, but I only got a little bit into it and I decided that I didn't need to read any more of it. But The Sound of the Fury is really good, so that's worth checking out.
And have you seen the preview for the movie?
No, is there a movie?
James Franco. It's not out yet. They just did, like, the first preview. And, like,
I didn't know that.
Seth Rogen is in it.
In The Sound and the
Fury?
But
it's, like, not funny. I mean, it's a serious adaptation of the movie.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure how that's going to work out.
Yeah.
Having read the book.
It's going to be a stoner Sound and the Fury, maybe.
Yeah. But they also did another. I thought he did. No, maybe he did As I Lay Dying.
Anyway. Maybe that was what it was. Anyway, yeah. No, I'm going to have to look that up because I didn't know about that.
It's coming.
Interesting.
We'll do a show about
it. I just made fun of Seth Rogen and James Franco, but I actually like them. They're good at what they do, so I'm looking forward to it.
It was somebody who's usually like not a serious actor, but he's playing kind of a serious role.
Okay.
So it should be fun.
I'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So what's next? I've only got one more left to go. So.
I always have a million, but I just went with a real quick David Sedaris collection.
Ah, yes.
Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim.
Mm-hmm.
And those his books of essays are not always like really connected to each other, mm-hmm. but there's always sort of a mild theme. And this one is like kind of connected to his family, and his family is great.
Yes.
And his essays are always really funny. Like, you're cracking up, but then also there's something, like, really sad about them.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't know. I just love them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's another one that if you can listen to the audio, that might be the way to go.
Does he do his own audio books? I think he does. Yeah, right.
But not Family Card Trip.
Unless your family is like the Sedaris family, in which case, knock yourself out.
I don't know what they're like.
All right. I was reading what was the Sedaris collection I read? I think it was Naked. It was the one with COG in it. And it struck me, and I get the same vibe from David Sedaris that I get from reading Fun Home by Alison Bechdel, which is my favorite.
That was going to be my favorite
book in the world. Let's just add it as another recommendation. Like, you want to talk about dysfunctional families? Fun Home by Alison Bechdel. I've recommended it 10 times already. It's so good. But I get the same kind of vibe from both of those because both Sedaris and Bechdel talk about their families being super dysfunctional and everything. Do we have another book recommendation from D.G. Martin who just walks in? Yes, this is the ultimate dysfunctional family, isn't it? John Meacham's Destiny and Power, The American Odyssey of George Herbert Walker Bush.
That sounds
D.G.,
fun.
Have you read it?
Yeah. Is that the new one?
We've got D.G. Martin in the studio. We got to ask him.
Just finished. We're going to talk to John Meacham on the telephone in a little bit.
Oh, wow.
600 pages all about the inside of...
Does he really call... was he called Karl Rove a meathead or something?
He says something... He doesn't get to that part of it until 585 pages yet. But that's what the news people picked up on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Destiny and Power by John
Meacham. It's great listening to you guys talk about these wonderful books. I'm so impressed.
I'm so thrilled that we've got the expert here in the studio. We don't usually have, like, drop-ins from cool people in the middle of these conversations. D.G. Martin,
those
everyone.
Just losers from the library.
Well, you're not a sudden drop-in, though.
What were we
even talking about? Fun Home. But both of those are about Fun Home and David Sedaris stuff are about dysfunctional families, but they're really accomplished dysfunctional families.
Yeah.
Like, the kids, we grew up in this dysfunctional family and everything was wrong, but like every single child in that family grew up and became famous and accomplished and great. So they must have been doing something right. Yeah. Anyway, so you had David Sedaris. My last recommendation, and then I'll let you do as many more as you want. My last one is actually a nonfiction book. I was thinking about the family and dysfunction again in American society. And one of the books that was in my stack of go through and read this year is the book that I was actually really excited about reading and had owned for years and just never gotten around to reading the whole book. And I'd actually had a chance to interview the author a couple of years ago here on the air when she happened to be in town doing a thing at UNC. And I was really excited about that. It was a great conversation, but I still hadn't actually sat down and read the full book.
Oh my God, say what the book is. You're killing me.
The Way We Never Were by Stephanie Kuntz, which is a book about the history of the American family and just sort of poking holes in all of the things that we believe are true. Like, oh man, this traditional family, which was always like two parents and the man went to work and the wife stayed at home and they had their two kids. It's like, no, actually that was a specific family structure that really only emerged after World War II and was only prominent for about 10 years. And there were a lot of bad things associated with it. And it goes along with this rise in tranquilizer prescriptions and things like that. And just really just sort of poking holes in all of the things that we believe are true about families and family life and tradition in America. And it's just really eye-opening book.
That sounds really interesting.
And now I'm done.
Now I want to read that one.
It's really, really good.
Okay.
And she wrote it like 20 years ago, but it still holds true today.
Oh, that's depressing.
Yeah.
But.
Unfortunately.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's separate.
Okay. It's all you.
This one is actually a suggestion from a couple of coworkers.
Okay.
It is called We Are All Completely Beside Ourselves by Karen Joy Fowler. And she wrote the Jane Austen Book Club. This book is totally different from that.
Okay.
It's got a nonlinear narrative, and it begins where we meet this young woman, Rosemary, who you know that her family is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad's an alcoholic. Her mom is, like, silent. Her brother has run away, and she just says that she's lost a sister. And we've talked about spoilers before.
Mm-hmm.
This is a book where this twist about her sister comes in, but it's also on the book jacket. So,
okay.
So I don't know.
Okay.
But her father's a behavioral psychologist, and I don't know.
So you don't want to give it away, but.
Well, I sort of do because I think it's going to make people want to read it. But then there are other things that happen.
Yeah.
That's not the only thing that's interesting about the book.
But like kind of a Gone Girl thing where, oh, there's a huge twist, but it comes like a third of the way in. And then,
yeah,
the real book has come. The real meat of the book comes after.
Right.
Yeah.
So can I tell you?
Sure. Go for it.
Okay. So like I said, the father's a behavioral psychologist and her sister is actually a chimpanzee. Who, when Rosemary was born, they took in this baby chimp and raised them together and sort of, you know, measured their milestones against each other. And when Rosemary is like 6 or 7, she goes to visit her grandmother and she comes back and her sister is gone. And they're like, she went to a farm. We can't visit her. So,
oh, God.
You know, it's as if her sister has died.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not, you know, anyway.
Okay.
But, so, right? Doesn't that.
Ugh. Oh yeah,
but,
now I do want to read
and
this
it's,
book.
Like, it's not funny, really.
Right.
But I think because her voice is funny, or maybe like super sardonic.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of, yeah, that's the way that she sort of copes with things is by making fun of them. And so it's really sad, but really funny.
What's
and
the title
just
of that
really
one
good.
Again?
We Are All Completely Beside Ourselves.
Okay. I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah.
All right. We got time for one more recommendation. What do you got?
Well, I put one of my faves, which is Persuasion by Jane Austen.
All right.
I'm not sure if I talked about it
here.
I
don't think so, no.
I love it.
Yeah?
And her family's terrible. Anne Elliot is, she falls in love with this guy when she's like 19, and he's a poor sailor. And so her family, who are like, they're kind of upper class, but they also are totally broke. But they're like, this guy's poor.
Awesome.
So forget it. She's persuaded against marrying him.
Of course.
And he goes off to sea and makes his fortune while Anne stays home and becomes a spinster. And like her dad is full of delusions and her older sister is obsessed with status. And but it's, you know, the way that she kind of, that Jane Austen sort of skewers society is always kind of funny.
I like it.
And I just really like the main character. And then the guy comes back.
Awesome.
Do-do-do.
All right. You know, I've never read anything by Jane Austen.
Oh,
I've
mean,
seen Sense and Sensibility a whole bunch of times. It's a great movie, the Emma Thompson version.
Well, then maybe
version,
that's the one you should read if you already know what's going to happen. So
that's
you can
true.
Just
I need
appreciate.
To read Pride and Prejudice and then just sort of get into Persuasion
you
and
should
Emma
read
and all
it,
these others.
And then read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yes, yeah. I do need to read that one, too.
Which I enjoyed very much.
Yeah. All right, so those are our Thanksgiving-ish recommendations. Check out the Chapel Hill Public Library. They're closed on Thursday and Friday, open again for the rest of the weekend, and it's going to be busy. So head there, look at the big machine with the conveyor belt with everyone else, and get you
Give
some books for the weekend. Susan McGuire, thank you so much.
Thank you.